This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. Lakers talk on this Monday night following, obviously, the national championship game in college basketball. We got a lot to get into. This is it. Final week for Los Angeles Lakers basketball. So this is it for the regular season, of course. We're all hoping and expecting that we're going to get a lot more Lakers basketball moving forward, but no guarantees. So as good as the Lakers have been playing, there is no guarantees that we're going to be playing basketball in a week and a half or 2 weeks or whatever the case is, which is part of the excitement. It's also part of the frustration seeing the Lakers do their thing the way they have over these last couple of months, but really haven't moved up all that much in the standings. I'm lying right there. For about a couple hours, Lakers were in the number eight spot. We got excited, and then Lakers lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday. So we got a lot to get into. I want to play some scenarios out for the Lakers. Optimistic, pessimistic view. I think we could look at both of them. LeBron, there was an article I thought that was interesting with Brian Windhorst about expecting to opt out for a specific reason in the summer. Anthony Davis, what he's got to do to make sure that he doesn't sustain the same injury again, at least the rest of this year. And we'll look at, obviously, all the games coming up around the NBA and the NBA standings. No games today, no games tonight, so just something to keep in mind. And then Brad Turner from the LA Times is going to join us here in about a half hour or so. Okay, let's start with this. Lakers lose last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, disappointing loss, right? I think just the mere fact that the Lakers have been playing such great basketball over since February 1st, they've been incredibly consistent. Coming into the game, winning 9 of their last 10 games. Awesome. Amazing. Incredible. Trying to kind of sweep this weekend. It was odd. Lakers are playing on a Saturday and a Sunday. Obviously, Saturday, they had a 12:30 game tip-off, an afternoon game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Lakers handled business there. So there's a lot of hype going into Sunday. If you're looking at the standings and you were seeing, okay, Sacramento's been struggling. Pelicans certainly have been struggling. Phoenix and the Pelicans were going to play each other. Who are you rooting for in that game? The Golden State Warriors had a game that night as well, or last night as well. So we're all watching, and Steph Curry wasn't going to play. Is that going to help the Lakers? We're all watching the NBA standings. And then a couple hours before the game starts, we get word that LeBron, flu-like symptoms, is not going to be a part of the game. So that was kind of the first bummer of the night. It's like, all right, well, I already thought we had a battle because the Lakers were playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yes, Karl Anthony Towns is not there, but the Minnesota Timberwolves, they've won 10 of their 15 games in this stretch without Karl Anthony Towns. They're 12-5 without Kat so far this year, now 13-5. So it's not like this was going to be a layup anyways, but you take LeBron out of the mix, now we got a real game. Now we got a real grind. Hey, one of their best players is out, Karl Anthony Towns. One of the Lakers' best players is out. Both teams playing good basketball. Both teams got a lot to play for. The Minnesota Timberwolves situation a lot different than the Lakers situation, just because the Timberwolves are fighting for positioning of 1, 2, or 3 in the Western Conference. Lakers are just trying to – could they avoid the play-in tournament, I think was the biggest question coming into yesterday's game. So you had that going on. And the fact that LeBron came to the arena but wasn't able to go, it's like, all right, that definitely did not start the night off on a good track. Then the game starts. Lakers actually doing their thing. This is what the Lakers have been doing. Lakers certainly over this last stretch of games, they've been phenomenal. They're taking care of business. They're winning home games. They're winning road games. And the first quarter ends and Lakers are up 4 and you feel like, okay, this is what the Lakers do. Then Anthony Davis leaves the game, gets hit in the eye again. So AD, this has happened a couple of times. I was looking, I'm like, wait, when did this happen again? That's right, it happened against the Golden State Warriors. So AD gets hit in the eye, and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's announced at halftime that AD is not coming back. And Minnesota, how about this? Anthony Davis doesn't play the rest of the game, second quarter. Minnesota drops 46 on the Lakers. They score 79 in the first half. You want to talk about a valuable player or a most valuable player, that's the definition of a most valuable player. That's how important Anthony Davis is, especially if you don't have Braun in this game, and the Lakers end up losing the game by 10. I'm not surprised or shocked or anything along those lines. I think the fact that the Lakers even made it a game, I think they were down 5 at one point in the fourth quarter, and Rui Hachimura was doing everything he can. Spencer Dinwiddie, I know Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell, they struggled from the field. Jackson Hayes was 8 of 9 from the field. So Lakers did everything they can. You're not beating the Minnesota Timberwolves without LeBron and AD. That's not going to happen, and it didn't eventually happen. But the team is playing well. It's kind of interesting. I almost feel like the losses for the Lakers, these last couple of losses, is just poor timing or bad luck. Remember they lost to the Warriors? That was on March 16th. Anthony Davis played the first quarter, got injured, same eye. It's literally a repeat. The game was at home over the weekend, and he only played 12 minutes. The Lakers ended up losing the game. So that part doesn't surprise me or shock me or any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, games like this, when I say it's bad luck or bad timing, what I'm referring to is those two games, that could be the difference of where you are avoiding the play-in tournament or coming out of the play-in tournament. That could be the difference of making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. That could be the difference of facing a team that you're like, I hope we don't face them in the postseason, that you end up having to face. That just kind of comes with the territory. There's nothing that you could do about that. But the Lakers were the hottest team in the NBA coming into the game. And I don't think anybody has got too many negative things to say about the Lakers or to have any type of conversation about the Lake Show that's not positive, because they've been playing good basketball. And I thought last night was just bad luck. If LeBron and Anthony Davis were both playing in that game and the Lakers lost, then it's a different conversation. It's like, all right, why'd they lose the game? Were they not prepared? Did they not come out with the aggression that they've had over this last couple of months? Did they not take the game as serious as they should? Well, no, none of that was the case. Lakers just didn't have their two best players, and that's why they ended up losing. I will say this on the AD front, and I want to get into a couple things as well. On the AD front, I thought it was interesting last night, Spectrum Sportsnet, you had Robert Horry and you had James Worthy. And both of them at some point mentioned, hey, he's got to put goggles on. And then they actually even had a segment where both of them put goggles on, like showing us, like, hey, it's all good, throw some goggles on. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do. Obviously, for Anthony Davis, kind of an unfortunate situation for him. None of these are on purpose. I mean, some people were trying to say, oh, what was Kyle Anderson swiping at? It just happens in the NBA. Just bad luck for AD and the Lake Show. But we're at too critical of a stage right now. And obviously Anthony Davis has to be in the lineup for these final three regular season games. He's got to be in there for the play-in tournament. He's got to be in there hopefully for playoff games as well. Even if it's just bad luck, whatever they can do to address it, or to minimize the chances of Anthony Davis running into a similar injury. With AD, it's always been, hey, he's got something with his knee, or maybe his shoulder's bothering, whatever the case is, right? Whatever part of the body it is, in this case, it's like, okay, no, his legs are good, his arms are good, his back is good, but he's dealing with this eye issue, and just the timing of it has been awful, and whatever he needs to do to address it, hopefully he gets addressed. And part of the reason why I say that, here's kind of the reality of the Lakers situation. They literally have no chance of doing anything when Anthony Davis is not there. I spent some time on this in the pregame show yesterday. So get a chance, I'm talking to Michael, but even before that, doing the pregame show, and I'm just highlighting, tell me a better two-way player than Anthony Davis right now. AD in the game against the Cavs, I think it was 6 blocks and 3 steals. And what AD has been able to do this year, and his biggest contribution has been his availability. He's only missed 5 games. Now, there's 2 games, like the one I was talking about, the Warrior game, and also this game last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where he only played 12 minutes and missed the rest of the game. And Lakers got 2 L's on those because Anthony Davis wasn't able to contribute. But what he's been able to do this year, and he's on pace to play 77 games this year, and his numbers and what he's doing on the defensive side. He's just been incredible. Nobody has anything negative to say. If Anthony Davis is in the game, I don't care who else is playing with him. You got a good chance of winning that game or making it competitive. So what happens with AD moving forward obviously is going to be very, very critical. Now, I don't want to take away what the Lakers have been doing, because they've been playing some fantastic, fantastic basketball. They have been. Go look at the Lakers' schedule, and coming into last night's game, they had won 9 of 10, so now call it 9 of 11. But since February 1st, I want to point out some of the teams that the Lakers have beat. Boston, New York, New Orleans, Clippers, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee twice, Minnesota. They're beating, Indiana Pacers. They're beating the Cleveland Cavaliers, another playoff team. For all those that want to criticize the Lakers and say, they've just had a really easy schedule. They have. They played the Washington Wizards, the Toronto Raptors, the Brooklyn Nets, the Memphis Grizzlies. They got another one against Memphis coming up. They were at home against Atlanta, Philly without Joel Embiid. You're not wrong. There have been some games that the Lakers have been winning, but Lakers have been beating everybody. They've been beating, other than the Sacramento Kings and other than the Denver Nuggets, they've been playing great basketball against teams that are playoff teams, teams that are struggling, teams that are obviously going to be picking high in the draft, lottery teams, whatever the case is. The Lakers have been, I thought they've done an excellent, excellent job over these last couple of months. And I don't want that to get lost, because they lost a game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They lost a game against the Timberwolves, who are the number one seed in the Western Conference, and they lost without LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So that part should not get lost. It really, really should not get lost. However, there is a reality of where the Lakers are sitting. So I want to do something when we come back. I think there's two ways of looking at where the Lakers are sitting right now for this final week of the regular season. There's an optimistic view. There's a pessimistic view. And frankly, you could kind of make a case for both of them. I think I would lean more towards an optimistic view, but a lot of scenarios that can still play out, and obviously that has to do with where the Lakers are sitting right now. Lakers Talk is brought to you by Valvoline. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Always appreciate their partnership. We come back, we're going to look at it from two different ways of what the Lakers got coming up. And it's wild where the Lakers can be. They still got a shot at number 6. They could also fall back to number 10. And there's only 3 games left in the regular season. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Just a quick reminder, in about 15 minutes, Brad Turner from the LA Times is going to join us. Always appreciate getting his thoughts on what's going on with the Lakers and really the entire NBA right now. What an exciting time in the NBA. I was telling Travis this morning, I'm geeking out on the NBA right now, and I think a lot of big-time NBA fans are. I know, listen, we all want to see the Lakers obviously make the playoffs and want to see them make some type of a run, but how crazy is the shifting going on in the Western Conference? I don't know who's going to be 6. I don't know who's going to be 7, 8, 9, or 10, and we're this late in the game. I don't know who's going to be 1, 2, or 3. The only positions that seem like they're solidified at this point, there's a very good chance the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks are going to play each other in the first round, and I'm all in for that one. I am all in to see those two squads go up against each other. Dallas playing as good as basketball as anybody right now in the NBA. And Clippers, you know, kind of starting to turn things around as well. They've won 7 of 10, even though some of them have been funky, still kind of trying to figure out what their health status is going to be for the playoffs. But that's how many question marks we still have the rest of the way, and kind of some similar scenarios in the Eastern Conference, even though I don't think we have nearly as many good teams there. Other than the best team, which is the Boston Celtics. Okay, so I mentioned there's two ways right now to look at the Lakers. There's an optimistic view and there's a pessimistic view. I lean towards the optimistic view. Let me give you that perspective first. Lakers have been winning, and they're looking good in the process. I think that the last couple of weeks for me, that road trip where you won 5 of 6. Yes, those teams weren't all that good, but even before that, they were winning games. Lakers, I want to say now, since February 1st, let me try to do the math here in my head, 21-9, something like that. I think they were 20-8 before the weekend games. They win one, they lose one, 21-9. And a couple of those losses have come where Anthony Davis just isn't available after the first quarter because of that eye situation that he's been in, like the Golden State Warriors game, like the Minnesota Timberwolves game. So the Lakers have been playing good. And here's the most important of this entire process here as we try to have an optimistic view on the final regular season week for the Lakers. I really do believe they're a dangerous team. I really do believe that not a lot of teams are going to want to play the Lakers. Yesterday we were having on the broadcast Alan Horton, who does the radio play-by-play for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We were talking about certain scenarios. Hey, you know, when's Carl Anthony Towns going to come back? And then Michael had asked him a question of, who do you think Minnesota doesn't want to play? And, he listed out Phoenix would be a tough out. And in the first round he's talking about, he said something. I think he said Sacramento has given them some problems, but Sacramento's not healthy. And then look at the Lakers. I think that's the thing that I'm most optimistic about with the Lakers right now is the fact that they didn't just stumble their way to just winning some games. They're beating good teams, beating high-quality teams, beating bad teams as well, but they look dangerous. When you look at that Lakers roster when they're whole, that starting five with LeBron, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, that's a pretty damn good starting five. Now, their bench, you got some questions, but there's a night Taurean Prince can drop 18. There's a night that Spencer Dinwiddie could be a nice two-way player on both sides. Gabe Vincent just came back. We'll see what eventually happens with him and how much he can contribute. Jackson Hayes has moments where he's clearly a contributor. We'll find out. Will Jared Vanderbilt at some point join the Lakers? Or I saw him warming up yesterday. Or is that not going to happen? But either way, I think there are reasons to be optimistic about the Lakers. They can go on a legitimate run, and I don't think anyone should be really all that surprised. Now, here's another optimistic way to look at it. You're home tomorrow, got the Golden State Warriors. You're on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies. Go handle those two games. And then kind of see where you're at by the time you're playing the Pelicans. And a lot of these other teams are going to be facing each other, so we'll see where the Lakers are in the standings. But handle your own business and let everything else play itself out. I think these next two games are obviously important. The game against the Warriors tomorrow is kind of everything, which is actually going to fall into my pessimistic view, but I'll do that in just a second. The game against the Warriors are not a better team than the Lakers. They're just not. If they play a 7-game set, Lakers are probably going to win that series in 6. They're bigger. They're stronger. They got more length. There's no answer for Anthony Davis. The Lakers have the ability, as to the best of their ability, over a 7-game stretch, over a 7-game series. I think they're just going to wear down the Golden State Warriors, and I don't think it's going to be that much different than it was a year ago. The other side of that, let me kind of start leaning towards the pessimistic view on the Lakers. Here's what's crazy. We all kind of talked about it. Look at the Lakers. Look what they've done. They're playing good basketball. They're still number 9 in the standings, and that part has not changed. Which means if the season ended today, you still got to win 2 games just to get in the playoffs. You got to win 2 games just to face whoever the number 1 seed is in the Western Conference. That's dangerous territory. Now, luckily for the Lakers, the regular season has not ended, and they still have 3 games left. But the pessimistic view on all this is they could just not make the playoffs altogether. Their season could be done a week and a half from today or 2 weeks from today. And I think that also is just a byproduct of the hole that they dug themselves, how good the Western Conference has been. And as we sit here with three games left, they're still at the number nine spot. If the Lakers lose tomorrow to the Golden State Warriors, there's a very good chance that the Warriors will finish with a better record than the Lakers by the time the season ends, which means the Lakers could still eventually fall back to the number 10 spot. That's how crazy the Western Conference is, that even if the Lakers, who've been playing as good as they have, there's also a scenario that plays out that they get into a play-in tournament, they got to win two games in a row. And you know what? I might tell you that the Lakers can beat the Warriors in a seven-game set, but the Warriors get hot for one game and their season is over. That could very easily happen. You don't think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga are dangerous for one game? Okay, let's say the Lakers played the Sacramento Kings in a play-in game. The Kings have beat the Lakers 4-0 this year. Now, I know Malik Monk's not there, and I know Kevin Huerter's not there, so I think the Kings are vulnerable. The Pelicans are vulnerable as well without Brandon Ingram. All these teams are vulnerable. A lot of those teams feel like they got, you know, they struggled at the wrong time of the year. They got injuries at the wrong time of the year. But anyone can win one game. That's the pessimistic side. I think the pessimistic side is, and I think it's just a reality as well. The pessimistic side is Lakers lose to the Warriors tomorrow, lose to the Pelicans. They go 1-2 in their final three games and all of a sudden find themselves in a position where they're that number 9 or number 10 spot, got to win two games in a row and just are not able to do it because one team was hot and the Lakers were not. So a lot of different things that can still play out. I do think the Lakers are a dangerous team. I think it's impressive the position that they've put themselves in, but they're not out of the water by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of that has to do with that loss from yesterday too. Getting to number 6 now is going to be very, very difficult, but it's not completely out of the question. That's why this entire series, that's why this entire season coming down to the final week is just kind of bonkers to see that this is the position that everybody's in. Okay, I want to change gears here for a quick second. So I was reading something a little bit earlier, and Brian Windhorst obviously covers the NBA for ESPN. I want to read something here because LeBron has got a opt-out clause at the end of this year. And I don't know what LeBron's going to do. I have no idea. But let me read off what Brian Windhorst was talking about. He said, I think LeBron is going to opt out no matter what. And I think the reason he's going to opt out no matter is because even if he just signs back for 1 year, the only functional way for LeBron to get a no-trade clause is to sign a new contract. If he extends the contract he is in or picks up that option and extends onto it, he cannot get a no-trade clause. I think for a number of different reasons, LeBron would like, ask for, and probably be granted a no-trade clause. All right. LeBron, by the way, has a player option for the 2024-2025 season worth $51.4 million. Let's stay with this for a quick second. I don't know what LeBron's going to do either. There were some reports about Bronny, which I'll get into a little bit later. Potentially, he's Bronny is the proper way to put it. He's a draft prospect. Let's put it that way. He declared for the NBA draft, but still entering the transfer portal, so he could still go back to college. I don't know how much that's going to weigh on Bron's decision. You guys remember before the trade deadline, there were some rumors out there that the Golden State Warriors were trying to trade for LeBron James, and the Lakers basically said no. And I don't really know any of the details there, but I know that Rich Paul went out of his way to basically say, LeBron is not going anywhere. Okay. Now, if hypothetically down the road, LeBron decides to put a no-trade clause in his contract, I think really more than anything else, what makes that so interesting is that the Lakers cannot trade him without his approval. And maybe LeBron is signing up for next season to say, all right, let's see what things look like. And but he wants to make sure that at the end of the day, and this has been part of LeBron's career the entire time, and I have no problem with that at all. I mean, it's LeBron. The guy has had control, and he's been able to always sign those 2-year contracts, but with an option for the second year. He puts a lot of pressure on the organizations and the front office. He's trying to win. He wants to have a say in everything. That's the way Bron has done it. And frankly, Bron has the power to do that, and he should have the power to do that. But I don't know what it ultimately means moving forward. But I don't believe, if any of those people think, hey, is this going to be LeBron's last year? I don't believe that. I don't think this is going to be his final year with the Lakers. I definitely don't believe that. But the no trade clause kind of adds an interesting wrinkle. Let's do this. When we come back, Brad Turner from the LA Times is going to join us. And we'll talk a little bit about the situation, like I mentioned, with LeBron. Obviously, the situation the Lakers are in right now, the final three regular season games, how dangerous can the Lakers be if they get in the playoffs. So we'll do all that coming up next. Quick reminder here, Lakers Talk is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up next. Whole lot of stuff to talk about around the NBA and around Lakers basketball. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Want to welcome in good friend of the show, great contributor. Does a fantastic job covering the NBA, the Lakers, the Clippers, I mean, all the teams for the LA Times. Brad Turner, BT, joining us. What's going on, BT?
Man, Alan, things are great. I'm having a good time around here. And the playoffs are around the corner.
Oh, man.
That's the best time of NBA basketball.
Okay, so BT, I was, you know, it's kind of crazy, and you could tell me for as long as you've been covering the league. What is a trip to me, and I'm not going to talk too much about the Eastern Conference. I think it is what it is. But the West right now, we're in the final week of the regular season. This is it. Lakers got three games left. A lot of these teams have either three or four games left in the regular season. And we don't know who's going to be the one, the two, or the three. We don't know who's going to be the six, the seven, the eight, the nine, and the ten. And I know Clippers and Dallas still doing their thing, but at least with those two teams, there's a couple game separation. I mean, things can still change. Do you remember a time this late in the year there were so many unanswered questions?
Never. You know, it used to be who's going to be in the top four, and of course you always had the top eight. Now that they've made it a top 10 with the bottom four, seven, eight, nine, 10, has a particular get in the playoffs because of a playing game, it's made the game more exciting because we're following it, we're looking at it, we're trying to figure out. I mean, there was a time a few weeks ago where I was positive the Clippers would play the New Orleans Pelicans in the first round. Clippers get back from a trip where they go 3-1 and the Pelicans start losing games. There was a time where I thought, you know, the Lakers, they'll be 9 or 10. And they go on that great trip. They come back 5-1. Now I'm thinking, can they sneak into 6? And then they get to what they got up to 8. So we're thinking, okay,
for
one
about 15
win,
minutes. 15 minutes they were number 8.
About 15 minutes. I mean, so it's just moving fast, and we won't know. I think until maybe Sunday, when the last games are played.
Yeah, and by the way, that's going to be in New Orleans, so they'll be taking on the Pelicans. So obviously a lot still on the line for both of those teams. I want to go back real quick to last night's game. And I thought the way I was talking about that game, the best description for me is there was a lot of hype coming into it. And then, you know, once you heard that LeBron was not going to be a part of the game, flu-like symptoms, it's like, all right, well, we already knew the Lakers are going to have their hands full. And then Anthony Davis, right, at the end of the first quarter, plays 12 minutes and is out the rest of the game. And, okay, without LeBron James and Anthony Davis, how the heck are you going to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves? It's not happening, and it didn't happen. Do you take anything else away from that game, or was it just as simple as look, if you don't have your two stars, the Lakers are not built to obviously hang with a team like Minnesota. Anything else you take away, or was that just kind of bad luck?
You know, Jackson Hayes, we're starting to see some signs out of him. He's getting more playing time. He's showing how athletic he is. He's starting to show that he can roll to the rim, get those dunks. He can block shot. He can run the court. So you're starting to see some positive signs out of him, which is good because they don't have Christian Wood. He's been out for a while. We don't know when he's coming back. But I think if anything I take out of that game last night, it was the play of Jackson Hayes and that his potential seems to be almost unlimited and someone they can depend on down the stretch.
Yeah, Hayes was definitely an impact. And what was it, D'Angelo Russell saying after the game that he's going to find a way to get himself paid this summer. And I know there have been some players that have used the Lakers as, and this is a good pitch by the Lakers, use our brand as your platform, kind of showcase yourself. There's so many of these games that are nationally televised, and all of a sudden you're going to get noticed more than if you took a deal, a minimum with the Utah Jazz or the Charlotte Hornets or one of these other teams. And Jackson Hayes obviously trying to take advantage of that. BT, I know sometimes injuries just happen, and I was listening to a Robert Horry and James Worthy post-game on Spectrum, and they were talking about Anthony Davis and said that because this has occurred twice where he's hit basically in the same spot in the eye, and unfortunately for Anthony Davis, it's held him out of two games, both critical games, one against Golden State and one last night against the Timberwolves. Is there a solution to this? Is it they kept talking about, hey, you got to throw goggles on the rest of the way, at least the rest of this regular season. Is that the solution, or is that just literally it's just bad luck?
Well, it is bad luck to get hit in the same eye twice within a week's span of time. But James Worthy, he wore goggles and he's in the Hall of Fame, so it worked for him. I think it just comes down to what AD's comfortable with. If he's fine without the goggles, which he hasn't worn, then you let him decide up on that. But first off, you want to make sure he's hurt and he's fine and that he's seeing clearly. And then I think you go through all the steps. Okay, what's going to be the next step going forward? Because no one knows what's going to happen in the playoffs or during a game. Somebody pokes you in the eye by mistake. He's not trying to. You get elbowed in the eye by mistake. You slip and fall on someone's foot. You sprain your ankle. Things just happen. That's just the luck, dumb luck, unfortunate luck of being a professional athlete. And for AD, he's got hit twice in the eye. And I don't know, man. Maybe it's something he will consider. It's just too hard to tell right now.
Brad Turner covers the Lakers and the NBA and also covering the Clippers as well for the LA Times, taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk. BT, just taking a look at the Western Conference standings and seeing where the Lakers are sitting. So they're number 9 spot with 3 games left to go. I was laying out kind of an optimistic view and a pessimistic view on the rest of the regular season here. I think the Lakers match up really, really well against the Golden State Warriors. Now, that doesn't mean that Golden State can't click in one game and find a way to beat the Lakers tomorrow. Obviously, the next game after that is against the Grizzlies. And then the final game will be against the Pelicans on the road. I know this is just kind of a guess here, but where are the Lakers a week from today? Are they exactly where they're sitting right now? Did they find a way to get themselves up to that number 7, number 8 spot? Just curious, and I know there's a lot of different scenarios that could play out, and a lot of that is going to have to do with how much the Lakers can take care of their own business.
It's impossible to say, really. Just here's an example. The Clippers played Phoenix Suns in back-to-back games. At Phoenix on Tuesday, back home in L.A. on Wednesday. Just to say the Clippers win both of those games, and now we're saying, is it possible for the Lakers to slide up to 6? Because that's the one team they do hold the tiebreaker over. And, of course, the Lakers end up playing their last game against the Pelicans. The Lakers don't have the home court, a tiebreaker over the Sacramento Kings. Man, I mean, who knows? I mean, I was talking to a scout last night from the Pelicans, And I said, can you explain the Phoenix Suns to me? They win games, I think they're going to lose. They lose games, I think they're going to win. And all he says is, I don't know, but I'm glad you think they win because we beat them. The Pelicans beat them. And he was surprised that the Pelicans won that game in Phoenix. Man, look, it's just, who knows? I mean, let's think about this. I think on a Wednesday, Minnesota plays at Denver. That could decide which team the number one seed in the West. That is a big game, which means going forward, if, say, it's Minnesota losing that, now the Lakers are kind of fighting around. So now say Denver is the number one seed, and you're the Lakers, and you end up in 9-10, and you win that, that means you're the number eight seed, and you end up playing Denver in the first round. Do you really, really want that one in the first round? I'm guessing no. Do you hope that Denver is like the number two seed? Say the other number two seed. And the Lakers find a way to get to 7-8. And now they win that. Now they're the seventh seed. And so the scenarios are just too many to think of. It makes it fun. I'm just going to enjoy all of this and see where the Lakers end up and see who ends up the top seed and the number two seed in the West, and then where we go from there.
BT, let's take a matchup like the Lakers had yesterday against the Timberwolves, and let's assume the Lakers were able to get out of the play-in tournament. They handled whatever business they needed to, one game, two games, whatever it was. Minnesota's an interesting series, a seven-game set. I know we don't know what the Karl Anthony Towns is, if he's going to have the ability at all to play in the first round, but let's assume Cat is not there. And it's Lakers and the Timberwolves. And let's just assume the Lakers have just their current roster. I'm not going to say anything about Vando, none of that stuff. How dangerous do you think the Lakers are if they could just get into the playoffs and potentially avoid the Denver Nuggets in that first round? How dangerous do you think they could be?
No, very dangerous, because they showed this last year. They got in as the seventh seed. They started on the road at Memphis. They won that in six. They started on the road at Golden State. They won that in six. But here's one thing to keep in mind about Minnesota. Yes, they may not have Karl Anthony Towns. Minnesota has some playoff experience now from last season, which is a big difference from a team like Oklahoma City, a young team that's just starting to learn and play together. So it makes it, I'm going to say, it makes it a hard road for the Lakers. And Karl Anthony Towns, not being there hurts them, but man, Anthony Edwards, whoo boy. Man, he is two hands full. Not one, but two of them. Who can deal with that kid? I don't know. Because he plays hard all the time, and he goes and gets buckets. So I just think if, for example, it ends up being Minnesota and the Lakers, it makes for a very fun, entertaining, tough series. And if you ask me to put money on it, I won't do it. But I don't have your kind of money either, though. I don't have your money. I don't have Michael Thompson.
Yeah, you're talking about Michael Thompson's money, not my money. Michael's the one with all that. BT, let's jump around the NBA here for a quick second, because I think there's going to be a lot of really good matchups, and no matter what it is, and we don't know what the matchups are going to be. Yesterday, here's a good example: the Clippers. Clippers looked like they were. I don't know where the heck they were going. And they kind of escaped with a win against the Philadelphia 76ers back in late March or so. Then they follow that up with another win at Orlando. Yesterday they're down 26 at home. They come all the way back. They win 120-118. We're asking the question of what are the Phoenix Suns? How about the Clippers? Do you feel like you have a good grasp at all of what they are? And do you have... A lot of people just assume that once the playoffs start, the Clippers are just going to turn it on. They're going to do their thing. What is your take on the Clippers? And let me add one more piece to this. One of the hottest teams in the NBA right now, if not the hottest, is the Dallas Mavericks. If that's a Mavs-Clippers series in the first round, what are your thoughts there?
I'll start with that one first. I think it'll be an entertaining matchup because of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. You have two of the best one-on-one players in the league, and if they get hot, they'll give any team problems, including the Clippers. But if the Clippers get home court advantage, I would think they could win that series, And keep in mind, Allen, generally over the years, the 4 and 5 matchup have been the best first round series because those teams are so evenly matched. Now, this year is different because everyone's good in the West. I mean, there are 10 damn good teams in the West. But if it's the Clippers and it is Dallas, you have a healthy Kawhi Leonard, you got Paul George playing at his level, you have Jason Kidd coaching down there in Dallas, you have my guy Ty Lue coaching the Clippers, it'll be fun. I would think the Lakers, I mean, the Clippers play a little bit better defense when they get locked into it. You know, that's the thing we're trying to figure out at times. There was a period where they were 26-5, and we knew who the Clippers were. They played great defense. They rebounded. They got back in transition defense. They shared the basketball. Kawhi was their best player. He still is their best player. Devin Paul George was their next best player. You had Russell Westbrook playing well off the bench. You had James Harden doing his thing. They went to a stretch where they couldn't win a game. And the players started saying, we don't know our identity. Paul George says that. Ty's not happy about that. Then James Harden says that. Tyronn Lue is not happy about it. He all of a sudden tells the media, yeah, we know what our identity is. We're soft. Next thing I know, I think they won 6 of their last 7 games after you called them soft. Dare I say they're not soft anymore. He is not going to let that be the case. He's going to make them play basketball the right way. And there are moments where they don't. Well, any team does. I mean, they got down 26 yesterday.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, there they go again. It's an afternoon game. They're sort of taking their opponent for granted. And they're just kind of going through it because that's what they do on these afternoon games. Well, next thing I know, they put it out. Paul George scores 23 in the fourth quarter. They were great. So Dallas and the Clippers, I think that's a fun matchup.
BT, it's just kind of plays out all the different scenarios. How great this final week of the regular season is going to be. The play-in tournament's going to be awesome. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to be into the postseason. So it's going to be fun. Always appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you very much for taking the time, BT.
Allen, man, we're talking to you is great. Unlike that other guy, Michael Thompson. You and I are basketball savants.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, that is Brad Turner of the LA Times. We come back. Final thoughts. Stay right here. Lakers talk on 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, thank you to Brad Turner for hanging out. So I appreciate BT doing that. Man, you could tell, at least for the both of us, we're both so excited for this next week and what it means for the NBA. I know every Laker fan wishes we were in a better spot or a better position, but this is just the scenario that's playing out. Here's what's crazy, too. So the week ahead for the Lakers, 3 more games left, all happening this week. Home versus the Warriors. Everybody knows how important that game's going to be. At Memphis, at New Orleans to end the regular season, but everybody's playing each other. Phoenix still has games against Minnesota, Clippers twice, and 1 game against the Sacramento Kings. Kings still have games against the Thunder, the Suns, and the Pelicans, and then another game against the Portland Trail Blazers. Keep going down the list. The Warriors still have the Pelicans and the Lakers. New Orleans still has some tough games where they have Sacramento, the Lakers, and the Golden State Warriors. So everybody is literally playing each other, and so many different scenarios can play out. If you're the Lakers, just try to handle your own business. Warriors tomorrow, roll up your sleeves, get a win against the Warriors, handle the Memphis Grizzlies, and then take your chances. See where you are in that final game of the regular season, what it means against the Pelicans. That's a position that you're hoping for the Lakers, and I got faith in them. I do actually got faith that the Lakers can make that happen. Looking at all the other NBA playoff scenarios, you know, this is crazy, and I look at the Western Conference here for a quick second. The matchups that we're going to have in the first round, the matchups. It could be Minnesota and the Lakers. It could be Denver and the Golden State Warriors, just using as an examples, right? Or Phoenix and OKC in the first round, Dallas and the Clippers. There's so many good matchups to be had, and that's just the exciting part. The Eastern Conference, to be honest with you, I haven't paid as much attention to. I know Orlando, New York, Cleveland, all these teams are a couple games apart. Even Indiana still has a chance to get up back into that top four or top three. But there, you know, I guess what might be the most interesting is if Philadelphia ends up that number seven seed and Miami ends up at that number eight seed. Well, now you got two legitimate teams going up against Boston and Milwaukee. I don't know what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. I know they've lost four games in a row. They look awful. They don't look good at all. But can you imagine Milwaukee and Philly playing in a first-round matchup, or Milwaukee and Miami playing in a first-round match? You think the Milwaukee Bucks right now want to see the Miami Heat? That is the last team that they want to see is the Miami Heat, but should be good. You know, unfortunately, there are injuries that have kind of ruined a little bit of the excitement of what's going on around the NBA. I'll use as an example the Knicks. They're not going to have Julius Randle for the playoff run. We know that in the Western Conference, you're still waiting for Karl Anthony Towns to come back. You're waiting for Brandon Ingram to come back. You're hoping that Kawhi Leonard and some of these other players, for the, you just want everybody to be healthy and you want to take your chances in a real playoff run. And there is a little bit of that where you look at these scenarios and you wish everybody was healthy, but that never happens in any playoff run. Okay, so coming up tomorrow, Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. So just to give everybody an idea, tip-off for that game is going to be at 7 o'clock. So we'll start the pregame show at 5:30. A lot of good things to talk about. Make sure you tune in all day leading up to the game. Obviously, that's going to be a great matchup. I'm going to have Anthony Slater, who covers the Golden State Warriors for The Athletic. He's going to join in the pregame show. So should be fun, should be exciting. Quick shout-out here. Thank you to Michael Funches, Mario Ruiz, DeAndre Hawkins. So thank you to the whole crew here internally, and thank you to Brad Turner for spending some time with us. We will see you tomorrow. LA, as always, have a great rest of your night.